This is Empowered Human Academy. Welcome home.
Everything you'll ever need is already inside of you, even on the days when that feels hard to believe. Empowered Human Academy exists to remind you of who you are, to help you stay close to what's possible right here in every breath. I'm Abe.
And I'm Isaac. We're both on our own journeys of growth, and what we've learned so far is that empowerment is as unique as you are. Once you've discovered just how expansive you are inherently, the world opens up around you. As we begin to feel better, life begins to feel better, and what it means to be alive comes alive in a whole new way.
While your path is uniquely yours, we're in this together. Listening to each other's stories helps us imagine how to access our own power to keep going.
We're here to create a life that feels like ours, one that calls us onward and upward because we're living as ourselves, fully and only. These conversations are part of that exploration, and you're invited. So, with hearts wide open, let's begin.
Hello, empowered humans, and welcome back. We're thrilled that you're here. We love sharing this space with you and hope that you feel that love coming through the sound waves.
Today's guest is someone I've known since childhood. April Gustafson is a data engineer at Spotify who is opening doors to better worlds through math and science. After working as a science teacher for both middle and high school students, April went to grad school for computer science and now works at Spotify. Fueled by the desire to make science accessible to those who typically have been shut out of the equation, April has kept the through line of her purpose clear and close, even as she's pivoted careers.
Throughout this conversation, we explore redefining your purpose, grounding your identity in spiritual reality, examining false narratives, and daring yourself to start something new.
As you'll soon hear for yourself, April has a big heart, and with it, she's dreaming up better worlds for both herself and others. We're grateful for how April shared herself with us here, and hope this conversation might spark some curiosity about how your own unique path might be opening up doors for those coming up behind you, too. So, let's get into it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Empowered Human Academy. Today, we are joined by the awesome April Gustafson, and actually, April is a good friend of Isaac's for a long time. So Isaac, do a little intro for April while we're here.
Oh, since childhood. But I'm actually really excited to hear, April, like where you're at now and everything that's going on. It's special to me to have you here because like I knew you when we were all quite small. And now here we are, less small in some ways and maybe still small in other ways. But before we dig in, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm super excited to spend time with you guys.
Likewise. Thanks for hopping on. We begin always with a question of identity. Not when you're presenting to others, but when it's just you coming home to yourself, choosing words that feel like they fit, that feel like they're home, that they like a favorite pair of shoes. What words of identity feel like they are yours?
I would say that when I think about my identity, the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm a beloved child of God. Hmm. That I am set free to enjoy God and the world around me. And also some words that I've been using to describe my identity recently are that I enjoy opening doors to better worlds for others.
Ooh. I'm pausing here because I'm writing down all of this. I'm intensely curious about all of this. What does it mean to be, realizing this is a huge conversation to open up, but let's just, you know, dig into it. Why not? What does it mean to you to be beloved and to be a child of God? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm still learning, exploring. I think it means that I, have been created to be in relationship with an amazing God who is, yes, loving, creative, beautiful. Mm. And then he sort of invited me into a story with him. I especially have been learning the beloved piece over the last couple of years that, I think it's sometimes hard depending on, you know, what faith tradition you've grown up in or sure. how you experience faith and spirituality. But I think to me, I've grown up with the sense that there is a spirituality, there is a God, but often find it hard to believe that that God loves me. But I think the last few years, I've had a couple of experiences that have really solidified in my mind that, like, yeah, wow, God loves me. He knows me. He's put things inside of me that he thinks are cool and awesome. And that, like, he wants to give me freedom to enjoy and explore those things. Mm-hmm. And I think coming to, like, dare to accept that has really kind of changed my life and my path in the last couple of years. That's the beloved piece. I think that's what you asked me.
Yeah, that's totally what I asked you. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to touch on every piece of this. And I guess I feel a potentially natural segue into the piece that you said about enjoyment of God and the world. With the last couple of years, as you're starting to, I don't want to put words into your mouth here, as things are happening that allow you to embrace the beloved aspect of this, does that facilitate enjoyment, or what's the connection there? Or is there one even?
I think we experience this probably in our human relationships as well, that when you feel that you are loved and known and, like, secure in relationship with other people, at least for me, that gives me such this sense of relief and, like, sort of safety and security where I can stop worrying about, am I okay? Am I okay? And all of a sudden now I'm just released to be like, okay, I'm okay now. Let me enjoy this. Like, there's, you know, while there are so many difficult things in this world, like, there's also so many beautiful, exciting, interesting things. But I think for a lot of my life, I worry. So I just spend so much time and energy worrying about, like, am I okay? Mm-hmm. But then when you start to internalize that sense of, like, yep, I'm okay. I'm beloved. I'm known, you know, like, that just all of a sudden, sets you free to enjoy people and the world around you, I guess.
Was there a moment where you were able to kind of distinguish or really kind of open your eyes to, like, oh, I am beloved and therefore I am free to enjoy this life? Or has it been kind of a gradual process or a little bit of both?
Probably a little bit of both. I do have a few, I guess, what I would call touchstone moments in my life where it's like this very distinct memory to me, almost like a word that was spoken that, like, flipped a switch in my brain or something and sort of opened up my eyes. So I can describe, I guess, two of them.
Yeah, if you're willing to share.
Yeah, we have time.
Okay, so probably part of my story will, like, unfold as we speak, but I guess in 2018, I had sort of this experience that was, which, funnily enough, Isaac is related to you in some ways. I had this mountaintop experience of going to New Zealand, which I connected with you over because I asked you about travel suggestions. I had this mountaintop experience in New Zealand, and then from that mountaintop sort of felt like I had gotten drop kicked by God off the side of the mountain and just sort of went into this really difficult period of my life. It just felt like a lot of disappointments, like just a series of disappointments all piling on top of each other. And I remember this day when I was talking to God and I was just like, God, I'm just a huge nobody. Like, I am a nobody. And I heard this voice saying, yeah, but you're my nobody. Like, you're mine. And that was just this, like, oh, wow. Okay. So, like, I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to have a fancy job. I don't have to have, you know, the dream house. I don't have to have this Instagram worthy life. Like, even though the world might see me as a nobody, like, God sees me as, like, his nobody. And, like, that makes me somebody. So that's something I come back to over and over. It was like, oh, I don't have to worry about all those things. And so I'd say that was one thing that sort of set me free. Another experience was so a little ways down the line where all of a sudden I sort of had hopped on this train of following a new exciting career path. And I was daring. I was going for things that were scary. I was trying all of these new things, challenging myself. And at one point, I was kind of going after my dream job. There was all these things were lining up in place. I had a second interview for my dream job, walked away from the interview and felt like I had bombed it, like absolute failure. I just walked away feeling like I am an absolute failure. And again, was talking to God. I was like, God, what the heck? Like, I thought you were doing all these things. I thought you were lining everything up. I thought you were showing me that you love me. And again, I heard the voice that was saying, like, April, there has never been a time when I have not been telling you that I love you. Like, your everything, your whole life, I've always been speaking love over you. And I think, yeah, so like those were kind of two moments that stick in my mind as touchstone moments of like, okay, yeah, yeah. And I've internalized those, I guess.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. I'm struck by the what I'm hearing anyway as like a kind of a quiet response, like coming from like you said, the mountaintop experience, and after the like litany of like good thing and trying after dream jobs and interviewing, followed by like an intensely negative experience, and then like a quiet knowing or a quiet word. Does that sound right? Is there a significance in the fact that this wasn't like a big fanfare event? It was something that you knew, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And in some sense, maybe I have had some other sort of fanfare moments in my life, but maybe the reason why these two moments stick out to me is because it's so quiet. It makes it so intimate and personal.
Yeah,
and it makes it a lot more like, oh yeah, that was meant for me. Like that was for me. So maybe that's something with why the quiet moments stick in my mind is because they feel personal.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because like both of the stories that you talked about, they were up against these like kind of more, not superficial, but just external kind of like you're on a mountaintop and then you're going after new jobs, like these like really big things. And then like the contrast of the quiet can maybe seem sometimes more powerful when it's up against something that, you know, in our perspective is really big, like truly a mountaintop moment. You know what I mean? It's interesting.
I'm curious about how people feel things because obviously I've only got my own physical apparatus to work with. And I know what it feels like for me to encounter something that feels like true or holy or like directly to me. Right. How does that, in whatever way you can or would answer, how does that feel to you? How does it feel?
So how does it feel to have an experience that you feel like is,
yes, I think that's the question. Yeah.
I think it feels, yeah, maybe like I said, it feels personal. It feels tailor-made. I don't know. Yeah, I think it feels memorable. I mean, I guess I don't know how much of a feeling. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Maybe this is me projecting, right? Like I'm a very body like centric person, but other people, like some people associate different kinds of experiences with I'm spitballing here, like a sound, or people who, I forget the term for it, but some people like see words as colors. Yeah, totally. Are there like, does that tie to your physical apparatus in any way, or am I totally barking up the wrong tree here?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking no, because an obvious answer isn't coming to me, but maybe I'm thinking like, it feels settled. It feels like relief. Like maybe kind of like I was saying before, like that feeling of am I okay? Am I okay? I'm okay. And then the relief of just like, oh yeah, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah.
That makes sense. How do you bring those, like those touchstone moments and those words into your life right now? Like, are there things that just live inside your head, or do you have to remind yourself on purpose, or like when it's really necessary, how do you bring yourself back to that knowledge?
Reminding myself intentionally or on purpose sounds like a good idea, but probably the way it happens more often is when I'm experiencing attention again. Like, so when I am feeling fear, anxiety, I think then when I'm aware enough to recognize, oh, I feel afraid, oh, I feel anxious, and sort of dig down into, you know, why is that? And usually I think I can tie it back to some of those touchstone moments of like, oh, remember how you felt when, or like, remember the reality of like what you heard or what you understood or what you learned from that experience. Mm-hmm. Like, remember that reality. It's still true now. So yeah, it's probably mostly when I recognize, oh, I'm afraid again, or mm-hmm. I'm anxious again. Let's go back to that.
Are there like techniques or patterns or activities or mindfulness things that you do to center yourself back in that, in those truths? Like, do you go for a walk? Do you read your Bible? Like, what do you do?
I probably, journaling would be one of the most helpful things that I do. So, and in doing that is usually just saying like, okay, what am I feeling right now? What am I experiencing? You know, why? I really like to try and like dig down into like, okay, what's causing this? What's the real issue? You know, I'm upset at somebody at work, but like, why did they really do something wrong? Or is it really my, you know, something that's more about me than about them? Mm-hmm. So I think to me, journaling is a really helpful way to sort of process. I think I process better writing things than speaking to someone. I know some people process verbally out loud, but I'm much more of like I need to write this down.
So, that's in my own experience, it's important to know what style of processor one is. So I'm happy for you in that way. Like landing on your own set of tools, that's important. Talk to me about opening doors to a better world. In what way, like how did you land upon this as being something that, you know, feels like it's yours, if I can put it that way?
So I guess I've already kind of mentioned that I went through a bunch of changes in the last 3 years. Yeah. So the major one was a career change. So I had spent 7 years working as a science teacher. So teaching high school chemistry and some middle school science courses, and then decided to transition to study computer science. And I remember in that transition, I went back to a grad school program, spent a lot of time commuting back and forth to grad school. And during one of those commutes, I was listening on audio to Simon Sinek Start With Why. I was thinking about how am I going to create a LinkedIn profile, which I didn't have, and apply for jobs, which I hadn't done in years. And sort of had this idea running of like, okay, what is my why? What is my purpose statement? Mm-hmm. And I was specifically wondering, how does my purpose from being a teacher connect with my new purpose of being a software engineer? And so one thing I noticed one of my favorite things about teaching was students who never thought that they got science. So I'd have students come to me and say like, wow, I've never understood science until now. And that was so exciting to me because I think science is amazing and interesting. And I think everyone should be able to enter into the world of science and feel like they have a place there. So it just felt so good. So in my mind, there was this picture of like, I'm holding a door open for a student who never thought they could enter into the world of science and belong and understand and participate. The ability to explain something in a way that helped, you know, usher someone, I guess, into this door. So that picture was in my mind. And then when I thought about, okay, what about this new career with technology and, you know, computer science, software engineering, I'm like, well, like, you know, technology opens doors to better worlds all the time. It gives us access to information. It sort of democratizes, you know, education. It mm-hmm. gives us, yeah, tools that we can enjoy and that make our lives better. So that was sort of the thread to me that might connect education with now doing software engineering. And so as I'm thinking about that, sort of a funny side, I guess. So I had always grown up knowing that my name, April, means open. And I had always thought of that as a state of being. So like, oh, it means April means openness. So I thought that meant, oh, me, I'm open. But then it's sort of, I was like, oh, what if it's more like a verb, like I'm opening. Wow. And my middle name is Joy. So I love that idea of like opening to joy. So I thought, oh, this is cool. I like this. I feel like I can adopt this as like a why statement. So yeah, sort of adopted that.
Amazing.
Wow.
I have a question.
That's incredibly powerful.
I have a question for kind of not deviating, but it has to do with like opening doors to a better world. What in your life are you opening for yourself? What door are you opening for yourself?
I mean, I guess this is sort of an ongoing process, but I think I opened a door to myself when I allowed myself to dream about a career that I could be excited about and love. So I want to be very clear in saying that, like, I think teaching is an amazing profession. Like, I had a great, you know, I have great memories. I worked with amazing students teaching, but like, it was life draining for me. But for some reason, I had this narrative in my mind that like, oh, but it's serving, it's helping, it's so noble. Like, how could you not do that? But I think I opened a door to myself when I like dared to say like, no, there's something that I can do as a career that will be exciting, that will be life-giving, that will be more in tune with like my skills and what I like. Mm-hmm. And that just daring to let myself like believe that there was a better career for me was sort of like the domino, I guess, that like allowed this whole chain of events to happen. So I think I'm still pursuing that.
Cool. What has the process been like walking through that door? Because you mentioned like the thoughts of like, well, this is noble. I'm doing like, how dare I even think this? And I think like people who are helpers and like to help people have a hard time like listening to what they desire, because it's like, well, I'm here to serve everyone. And I think, well, I just kind of want to know about your journey in that process for changing careers and what happened internally with you.
Sort of hard to describe, I guess. So I'll say maybe one thing is that I had help. So I went to see a spiritual director, and I think like she was incredibly instrumental and helpful in being sort of an outside perspective to say like, yes, you like to help. Yes, that is a good thing. And also there are other ways that you can help that will be more sustainable for you, because obviously like, I mean, this, yeah, teaching was not sustainable. It felt like desolation. It felt draining. I couldn't see myself continuing. And so, of course, like if you're drained of energy, you're not going to be the best teacher you can be. You know, you're not going to be helping people as best as you can. And you're always going to be doing it like a little bit begrudgingly. Like, I think, you know, there's a little bit of this martyr syndrome, maybe, of like, oh, look at me, I'm so noble, I'm, you know, suffering for the sake of helping people. Yeah, so I guess she helped me see that I could still help and also tap into things that gave me energy and gave me life, and that I could, you know, potentially, you know, cultivate and grow and pursue for the long term. So I think that was part of it.
Was that hard to accept?
In some ways, it was not hard to accept because I was so desperate. So it was like, when she gives, you know, when she, having that other voice saying like, no, this is okay. This is okay for you to pursue this other route. I think that was helpful, because otherwise it would have been hard. I mean, yeah, I spent 7 years not being willing to explore other options.
Totally.
So I would say, yeah, it is hard to accept. One, being kind of desperate made me be like, no, like I need to change. Something has to change. And then probably two, the thing that made it a little less hard was, yeah, having that person alongside to say like, nope, this is good. Go in this direction. From you.
Totally.
How remarkable to arrive at a place where like the like all that is noble about helping others and opening the door for others and all of that. And by the way, let me acknowledge one more time how incredibly freaking powerful that is to find a tie to your own name. That's amazing. But to have the honor of that position, because I see that as one of honor, but also finding that something that is like intrinsically rewarding and energizing and activating, like to land at a place where you get to hold both of those things together. That's incredible.
Yeah.
How does that feel today? Like what happens like when you reflect on that, knowing like the 7 years of teaching and knowing that you came from like a desperate place. And why not? Let's add more to the table here. Like knowing that you are beloved and you are okay and all of this stuff.
And free and yeah.
Totally. And that you have license to enjoy. When you stack all of that together, what do you have to say about that?
It just like makes me want to dance around the kitchen and
cool. Yeah.
It feels incredible. Yeah. I'd never imagined that I would like be in the place where I am now, but yeah, it feels so good.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Hey friends, hopping on here quickly with a really fun announcement to share with you. If you've been resonating with the energetic direction and themes here on the podcast and feel drawn towards the kind of exploring we do in these conversations, then we'd love for you to apply to be a guest on Empowered Human Academy.
We are all on our own journeys and we're all learning, which means we all have wisdom and insight to share. So if it sounds sparkly to engage in an hour-long exploration of your own life and of what you're learning at the moment, we'd love to hear from you. Or if this reminds you of someone you know, someone whose journey and growth you find inspiring, send them our way.
To apply to be on the podcast, simply head over to eha.party. Fill out the form and we'll be in touch if it feels like an aligning fit. And while you're at it, text the link to your friends who you think would enjoy it too. We'd really love to hear from you and can't wait to meet you. Again, just go to eha.party, fill out the form, and we'll make some magic together. Now, back to the conversation.
Talk to me about the significance of... Actually, okay, the thing that's leaping back into my mind right now is what you were saying earlier about like, oh, I'm afraid again, or oh, I'm anxious again. Why, like we all experience that, right? And for some of us at different points, we have like a touchstone to return to in those moments. But talk to me about what you see as being the, I'm not gonna make a general statement and say like, what's the point of it all? But like for you, what role do those moments of like fear and anxiousness and uncertainty, if you see them as having any role in your life whatsoever, but like for you personally, what relationship do you have to those moments where you pass through those feelings again?
I think that wrestling with fear and anxiety illuminates false narratives.
Ooh, okay.
In my mind, and sort of pushes me to discover or maybe receive might be a better, like receive what is real and what is true.
Ooh. Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So I'll give a sort of generic example, which could probably, I mean, there's like lots of specific, but I'll try to make it generic. Maybe totally. People can relate to this. I guess there are instances where I get frustrated with other people. Maybe they're not doing something the way I would do it, or yeah, just some sort of thing where I'm like, oh, like why isn't that person doing things this way, or why did that person do X?
Yeah.
And I get frustrated, angry, and often judgmental. Wow, this isn't talking about fear and anxiety. This is just okay. An example, I guess, of illuminating false reality. Maybe I can
think
of a fear and anxiity one after this example.
No worries. Roll through it. Yeah.
So I guess when I see that and I feel that sort of like ugly judginess inside of me, I think that pushes me to say like, okay, like what is the reality of like this person? Like who is this person really? How do you like, what's the true reality of this person? And usually that opens my mind to like some false narrative I'm saying about them, like they did this because they didn't care about me, or they did this because they're lazy, or they did this because whatever. And the reality might be then it causes me to think like, I know that person had some really hard stuff going on in their life this week, like maybe actually it's kind of amazing that they're functioning as well as they are. Or
totally.
So I guess I feel like those kind of moments of tension, or like notice, like feeling an ugliness in myself, or feeling just like I like to think of this. I see the purpose, a purpose in helping me see like, okay, what's a false narrative that I'm saying and what's the reality? I think, yeah, with fear and anxiety, I think it's stuff like at work, you know, I'm like, oh, like, what if I get this wrong? What if I mess up? What if this person thinks badly of me? And I think there the false narrative is you have to be perfect in order to be useful, or like you have to do everything perfectly in order to be of any value. And I think that is a false narrative that has been very loud in my mind, is you either you have to be perfect or you have to be the best. Otherwise, no one wants you. And that's something that I think I've had to see as like, no, that's not true. Like, you have, you know, even if you're not number one, you still have a lot of helpful qualities. And, you know, there's a lot of work to get done in this world. Like, we need you too. You have something that you can offer and bring to the table, even when you're not perfect, even, you know, even if you're not the best, like you still have work that you can do.
Was that different for you when you were a teacher versus now as a software engineer? Do you feel, you know, like 6 years into teaching, 5 years into teaching, what were those moments of frustration or anger or fear or anxiety fewer and far between versus now in this new profession?
I think I had less fear as a teacher. I experienced a lot of anxiety over like how to best handle situations that felt like conflicts with students. That gave me a lot of anxiety, and I didn't feel like I had a lot of tools to know how to deal with those things. And also people are more complicated than computers to me. So
totally.
It feels like, yeah, with those situations, I didn't experience as much fear, maybe because I had more experience or felt more confident. But yeah, definitely a lot of different kind of anxiety that I didn't know how to deal with because it was so relationally,
there was
so much relational connectedness. And that's a little bit more difficult, I think, for me to sort out. Whereas, yeah, thinking now as a software engineer, generally my anxiety is like, oh, what if I write this code wrong? Or yeah, like, what if I say something stupid and show my ignorance? And that's a lot easier to say, like, it's okay, the world's not going to end. Even if you write it wrong, you can fix it and learn from it and move on.
Totally. Yep. I hear that. Jumping back a bit to, okay, there was a moment where you changed the way that you said something, and the words you landed were, when I receive what is true. And I think what you originally said was like, when I didn't write down the original thing was, maybe you said like, when I land on truth or something. Do you remember what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, I think maybe my original was maybe going more along like when I find what's true. Or, yeah.
This is interesting to me because I think you and I have related faith backgrounds, but at this moment I don't identify as like being connected to my spiritual framework is all over the place. But I also have a sense of like truth being something that I think receive is the right word. And regardless, I landed on it because I resonated with that language, and I wanted to know how, like, why you changed your mind about what word you wanted to use there and what that means to you.
I think when I find truth or figure it out.
Yeah.
I think that puts a lot of burden on me to figure it out. And that seems weighty. And I think the times when I feel the most, freedom or relief in that shift from like, oh, false narrative that I've been stuck in to now living in reality, I think usually the times when I feel the most release or freedom is because it came to me. It wasn't me figuring it out, so to speak. Yeah. It was just like, oh, I received this. Maybe similar to the two stories that I described at the beginning of like, kind of these touchstone moments of hearing that you're loved and valued. I felt like those were receiving. It wasn't something that I mentally put all the pieces together and figured out. It was just like, I received that.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I changed my mind.
That makes sense. I think about that a lot, like the relationship between like the things that we do on purpose and the things that are bestowed upon us by God or whatever language you, dear listener, identify with here. But that interplay is interesting to me. Thank you for that.
A side tangent. Your voice is very soothing, and I hope the people who are listening are really enjoying like a really meditative episode. I'm over here just like in a daze, in a good way. It's fun.
Okay, so a thing that I have written down here is, what does beginning mean to you? And I think I have that written down because you are like, you have a background of like working with kids who are in some element of beginning. And also you've chosen yourself to begin several like kind of large things and to go back to school and to go back to interviewing and to begin again in a career when like per socio-conventional whatever, like someone would, it, like, I don't know. It's a relatively unusual thing. Maybe less and less over time. I don't know. But what does beginning mean to you?
Some words that are coming to mind are exciting. I think it's exciting to start something new and sort of, you know, have that sort of initial energy and excitement of like, I don't know where this is going to take me, but yeah, like, let's find out. So maybe excitement, adventure. I think also, yeah, I mean, a lot of unknown, which can certainly like lead to some fear. But yeah, the first words that came to mind were definitely sort of excitement, adventure.
Yeah. Okay, so follow-up question. How do your present, future, and past interact? I think that's a big freaking question, but given, I think it's prompted because of what you just said about like beginning feeling exciting, and to begin can mean stepping away from what was. I guess it needn't necessarily, but for someone, for the story that you are walking through yourself, how do those interact, past, present, future? I actually ordered that on purpose. Present, future, and past is how I said it. So I don't know if that changes the answer, but what does that all feel like to you?
Yeah, this would be a great thing to sit down and journal about. Be interesting to think through. I guess my initial response would be, I don't like thinking that much about the future. I think I tend to dwell more in the present and the past. I think the future, even though, yeah, I say exciting, like I have a hard time like daring to look beyond the next, okay, you know, month or year. Like I have a really hard time making dreams, goals, visions for my life. So yeah, I would say at least right now, that's probably, it could be somewhere I could grow, like learning, okay, how can I maybe dare to, or yeah, how does one even learn how to dream or, get excited beyond, you know, the next month?
You become a coaching client of Abe Lopez because I'm very good at it.
Does that feel like something you want? And I'm projecting hardcore here because I'm not a goal-oriented person at all.
Though I will say for April and the listeners, Isaac is becoming more aware of the benefit of planning ahead. And he's like, wow, this is what happens when you plan ahead. This is what happens. I like this.
We learn from each other. But my point here is that like,
it's not your original state of like being.
Where I'm going with this is that like, we need not grow in every direction. And there are some things that like feel like they're beckoning to us and some things that aren't. And so I'm genuinely curious, like learning to dream, I think were your words. Is that something that you want, or do you like the relationship that you have with it right now?
I think I would like to learn about it a little bit. I think because I think part of why I don't dream is rooted in fear and like I kind of assume the worst and I assume disappointment. I assume that, oh, if I allow myself to dream and it doesn't happen, you know, then I will just crash and burn. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said for dreaming, even though you don't know how it will turn out or exactly, but like believing that that dream will lead you somewhere, and like that somewhere can be good, even if it's not the original thing that you thought of. And I think maybe that's something that I would want to practice a little bit.
Is that what you mean by dare? You've used that word a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like the word dare, you have said it a couple of times. I've been noticing that too. And I think you connected that word to your sentiment when you were talking about changing careers. You're like, dare to do something that is for me, that I actually really like. And you're on the other side of that. Have there been any other dares that you're on the other side of now?
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely small ones. I think I've been trying to practice even in, you know, small things at work, or even doing this podcast. It's like, I don't know what this will be like. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I'm going to dare to like believe that regardless of, you know, the outcome, like there's going to be good things that come out of it. And, you know, even if it doesn't turn out, you know, perfectly the way that I would, you know, if I was writing the story, like there's still going to be good things in that. So I think I've been trying to practice trying things that I'm not sure if I will succeed at, but just recognizing like, hey, but at least, try. Why not try? So I think I've been trying to stretch that muscle a little bit.
Is it grounded? Are these efforts in trying new things grounded in one of the things? Are they in one way grounded in self-trust for you? Because for me, like if I'm going to try something, I got to know at least it's going to be okay. And maybe it's the trusting God thing and trusting yourself as well. But I'm just curious what it means to you.
Yeah, maybe it's self-trust in the sense of, like maybe trusting that like I am okay regardless of what the outcome of this new endeavor is, and recognizing like this, whatever, you know, if I succeed or fail at this thing, like that doesn't define who I am. So maybe that's element of like self-trust, of trusting, that like I'll be okay.
That's beautiful.
The outcome doesn't define me.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I wrote down a thing that you said way at the beginning about holding the door open to, and I think I paraphrase the rest of this, but like to those who never thought they could access the thing beyond. Can you tell me more about just all of that? I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, so I think when I said that originally, I was speaking in terms of science. So I think I believe that science is accessible to anyone, like as long as you have somebody explain it in the right way, the way that connects and works your brain. So I guess it's partially rooted in this belief that yes, this is accessible to everyone. I also think that, you know, it's a place where we need everyone. We need more, you know, diverse backgrounds, ways of thinking, like in science. And so if I could help usher somebody in that never thought they could come in, and then now they can be a participant and be active and like, who knows, you know, like, influence the direction of the conversation in science and technology as well. You know, like we need, it's sort of like all hands on deck kind of thing. And like, I don't want someone to not pursue learning about science just because they think like, oh, I'm, you know, that door's not open to me, I'm not welcome there. And I feel similarly now about technology. I feel so blessed that people held the door open for me and ushered me in. I mean, Isaac, you were one of those who you told me when I first was thinking about pursuing computer science. I mean, you were so enthusiastic about like, yes, like you belong here. You can come on in. You know, there's so much for you to do here. And I would really like to do that. So I was doing that for students with science. Yeah. I'd love to keep doing that now that I'm sort of got my foot in the door in technology, because it's another space where we like there's so much need, there's so much space. Mm-hmm. We need like diversity of thought and opinion. So yeah, I'm excited to see mm-hmm. what opportunities I have, I guess, to hold doors open to like allow people to enter the world of technology as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think I saw you have a YouTube series that you started working or that you're doing, right?
It was a limited edition. What do you call that?
A mini series. What was it of?
So the title of the mini series was called "The Scientific Implications of Taking Song Lyrics Literally."
I love this so much.
So in a nutshell, I think the best example of this is I would take a song lyric and then say, like, let's open up for our imagination. What if we took this song lyric literally? What are some interesting science things that we could learn? Mm-hmm. So my favorite example is the song from South Pacific, which is, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. So saying like, okay, what if we took this lyric literally? Could you actually wash a man out of your hair with soap? And it was so fun to like go down the rabbit hole and explore that. It was really, really fun to do.
Wow. I want to go watch it now.
Yes, absolutely.
That's amazing.
We are wrapping up here, and there are two questions in closing. And the first question is, what does an empowered April look like and feel like?
Yeah, an empowered April feels loved, feels beloved, feels secure in her identity, and that like feels okay. Feels free to try new things, even if she might fail. And then also feels free to sort of like have enough energy, I guess, to look at the world and look at people around her and see, like, imagine the glory self of those people, or imagine like the best version of this world around her, and like just feels the freedom to imagine those things and then maybe like work to make them a reality.
Wow. I literally just underlined like a better world, because that was one of the things that you said about your own identity. Like, you were opening doors to a better world. And I wanted to ask you, like, what does that mean? And I think you just answered that. Like, you said the glory self. Was that what you said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which in my mind is just like, okay, like this is the best version of, you know, this person, or this is the best version of the world, like the world that I feel like my heart is longing toward, the world that we all think like, oh, there's all these signposts that are pointing towards, you know, love, justice, peace, beauty, like all these, and like going towards that beautiful, yeah, dream, I guess. Yeah.
Realizing that I think we could easily spend another hour on that subject by itself in just like a minute or so. Like, what do you have to say about beckoning that in or opening the door to it? Like, what 60-second course on what it means to approach glory? Like, what does that mean to you? What does that action look like?
I think I'm still learning. I think I'm learning, though, that the first step is even taking the time to imagine what that is, because, yeah, obviously, like, it's hard to move towards something that you're not sure. So I think I've been trying to practice kind of day by day thinking like, OK, in this situation, which could be, you know, as grandiose as, yeah, it could be a grandiose vision, or it could be even just like, what does this look like with my colleague? What does this look like with the person I live with? Just like taking the time to imagine like what is the dream look like? And then, yeah, I guess I'm learning still, like, what's the next step then to get there?
I love that. That's really beautiful. I wrote down dreaming. I mean, dreaming and imagining what it could be first. That's really beautiful. Our final question, what do you know for sure?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to sound like a broken record. I'm going to go back to that. Yeah, I am beloved. I'm okay.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm still like, I've teared up so many times and I'm still happening. So I really value the choice that you made, the dare that you took to like spend a bit to talk about this and explore it. And especially when, you know, there are elements that are so quiet and personal and things that, you know, need not be spoken to be true, but I appreciate that you chose to speak them. And I am excited for what what people hear in these words and what that does for them.
You inspired me to dare to think about what can be, what if, what is possible. And for those of you who are listening, take a moment to do the same, because when we give ourselves that space to imagine and dream and dare to create what we want for ourselves and for other people and for this world, I think a lot of beautiful things happen. And it just starts with knowing that it's possible to even invite ourselves into that space. So thank you so much, April, for your time. It was a pleasure and a treasure. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for very interesting questions.
You are welcome.
Until next time.
Cheers. Y'all, the whole point of everything is to open up ourselves in all the fullness we're made for, and then to create with everything that is real and true and bright. That's the work of a life. That's what we're working on. And you're here because you feel that for yourself, too, and we believe in you completely.
And hey, if you want to take a deeper dive, then head over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and sign up for a subscription, giving you access to exclusive bonus content. We've recorded a companion episode where we digest the themes of this week's conversation and swap art recommendations, sharing what's giving us life in the moment. It's a lot of fun. And also, head over to empoweredhumanacademy.com for a free downloadable with a table question, journal prompt, and action step to bring the energy of today's episode home to your own life.
Thank you for being here, for choosing to spend some time with us. Now, get out there and do something that feels exactly like you, and we'll do the same.
And for us, that includes bringing you the next episode. Until then, stay close to your heart, to your breath, and to your power. Have an amazing and awesome day.